Amen. All God's men said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Remain standing if you will. Take your Bibles, Matthew chapter 28, and then Acts chapter number 2. And we're going to read some scriptures together. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to be back at West Coast Baptist College, a place that I love dearly. Thank God for each and every staff member that invested in my life. And thank God for the Lancaster Baptist Church. And it is a model of the model. That's what it is. It's a model of the model church. We see the model church in the book of Acts. Amen. The Lancaster Baptist Church is modeling that. And that's what we're trying to do, is model the model church. And excited about church planting, excited about you young men. And what a great encouragement that it is to come back on campus and to see many young men already surrendered to church planting and know the city. That's a great blessing. And thank the Lord for each of you. And Dr. Weaver, thank you for the investment in my life. And boy, I tell you what, the Lord gave us several good years together. And it just gets better and better and better. And truly, as the song goes, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. And as you serve the Lord faithfully here at Bible College, get to know Him personally. And I was challenged freshman year with your walk with God. I heard it. Well, the easiest place to backslide is in Bible College. And I thought, man, how in the world is that? But it is possible, amen. And you're hearing messages, you're going to class, you're learning about doing the work of God. But don't ever forget that you are the will of God. You are becoming what God wants you to be. You are the will of God. And so it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. May we not forget that. And boy, I sure appreciate each of you this morning. And I look forward to getting to visit with you. If you are graduating this spring and you're going out to plant a church, come by and see me. We have a new church plant, only 3.5 years old. We support 12 missionaries right now. I think 4 church planters in the States, and we have more room to grow. Amen. And I've already got Brother Abram Thomas and scheduled in June, and by the grace of God, we'll support him. And I don't care where you're going, I'm for you. And I want to help church planters. I believe wholeheartedly in what Brother Shoemaker said this morning. We need churches and churches in America. And boy, it's just a blessing to hear. Many of you have already surrendered to that calling, and just want to encourage you in that to stay faithful to the Lord. It's just about continuing to plow the plow. Stay faithful, men. And God is using you right now. And just be faithful to it. Faithful to do the little things. Keep your room clean, like he said. Just little things that you're doing, but God expects us to be faithful with the little things, and then He'll give us much. And we're looking forward to being a support to you and a help to you. And if we can pray in any way, we would count it an honor to do that. You have your Bibles in Matthew chapter 28, familiar passage of Scripture, no doubt, at West Coast Baptist College and Lancaster Baptist Church. And so let's read out loud, everybody together, Matthew 28 and verse 18. Ready, begin. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's good to see that many of you were not looking down at your Bibles. You have that memorized by heart. It's one of the greatest passages of Scripture that you'll take with you, men, in starting a church. Then I want you to turn over, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter number 2. An imperative Scripture for church planters. In my opinion, Acts chapter 2, we see a pattern that is developed and laid out for us about discipleship right from the very beginning of the local New Testament church. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. And I'll read these verses, you follow along with me. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The topic of the session this morning is the discipleship of new believers. And so I want to do the best that I can this morning with the time that we have. What time are we supposed to be finished, by the way? 10:45? Okay, we'll do that. And I understand this morning that there are other men who are probably more qualified and able than I am. I would certainly give a place to them and allow them to do that. I enjoyed the message this morning. As Dr. Getch said, we need to hear from men who have been there and have been down that path and traveled that. But I understand also that God has asked me to be here today. And so by the grace of God, I'll do the best that I can to help you with some of what God has helped us with in the first 3.5 years of planting a New Testament church. And so we're talking about discipleship. Let's pray once again and ask God to help us this morning. Heavenly Father, we bow before You to give You the glory and the honor and the praise that You deserve, for You alone are worthy. Lord, it all hinges upon that fact today that You are God, that You are worthy to receive, Lord, all the glory and honor and praise. And today, the best we know how, we give that to You. We surrender and submit our lives to You and to Your leading and directing. God, that You would have Your will and Your way in our hearts and in our lives, that You would order our steps and guide us, Lord, in the way that we should go. And now we come before You seeking Your help today. Lord, I recognize that I'm helpless and hopeless apart from You right now. Lord, unless the power of the Holy Spirit comes down and takes the Word of God and works in each and every heart and life, Lord, it'll all be in vain. May this session not just be another lecture. May it not be another message. May it not be just another time for us to gather together and, Lord, just to go through another routine. But, Lord, I pray, Lord, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that Your presence and Your power would be manifested to us in this time that we have together. Lord, that the Word of God would burn deeply into our hearts and in our minds. And may Your Holy Spirit, Lord, draw us to the knowledge of Christ, that You would increase our passion and our burden for You. God, may You get the glory and the honor that You deserve. I ask You now for a fresh anointing and outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon my mind and upon my mouth, that You might communicate clearly and boldly Your Word through me today. And Lord, I'm just Your servant today to these students. Lord, I'm nothing more than a servant for God. And I count it an honor to serve You. God, I pray that You'd raise up some servant leaders to go out to the harvest fields to see churches established. God, would You work in our hearts? We pray that You'd bind the strong man. We command the enemy to leave right now. Satan has no ability to work here. He's not welcome. We command him to leave. God, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would just touch our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There's one thing that I want you to know today, and that is, it's real. It's real. I'm going to be as open and honest and transparent with you as I possibly can be, and if you can come by, you want to ask me questions later, I do not have all the answers. I'll be the first to admit that. But together we can seek the Lord, amen? And we can come before Him and we can pray together and believe that God will give us the answer. But I do believe that what God has in store for us today is something that will help us. You're already experiencing some of what I'm going to say today. So I'll mention some things and you'll say, well, I've already seen that done. Praise God. Take notes. Watch. Observe things. Be observant here at Lancaster Baptist Church and at West Coast Baptist College. Watch the intricate details of how the ministry operates and get to know the ministry leaders and be a part of that. Don't just be immersed in just what you're getting out of it, but look about what you can give to others and try to watch the discipleship ministry and the soul winning ministry. And if you're not a part of that, I would encourage you to get actively involved in it. And don't just go so that you can sign off on a soul winning report. Don't just go so that you can say, well, I've done my duty. Hey, listen, most of America, that's what they do. They go on Sunday and they check off their religious duty list and they say, I've done my job, and that's it. May God raise up a generation of preachers, of young men today that's not willing to just do their duty, but to simply go above and beyond and to really look at this matter of discipleship in the local New Testament church. Everyone needs discipleship. Everyone needs discipleship. Isn't that why you're here? You say, well, no. I've been saved and I've been discipled. Okay, well, we're going to talk about discipleship in the matter of training. You're getting training right now. You're being discipled in the work of the ministry. And whether you're called to go and plant a church or to pastor or to be a missionary, to raise up help with other works, or whether you're called to Christian education or any other job, for that matter, you're being trained in the work of the Lord. Hey, we have a responsibility first and foremost to God. We give account to God. So then every one of us must give account of himself to God. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're a missionary, or whether you're a layman in the church, you're going to give account to God. So we better understand this morning that, hey, listen, I need to be trained. I need discipleship. And I want to just ask you this morning, how many of you have ever been through a discipleship class, maybe before you came to Bible college? Would you raise your hand? All right. Many of you have, but probably about 60% of you have not. Now, that is not a negative or a negative mark against your home church, by the way. Churches do discipleship differently. I'm not here to advocate one way of discipleship over another. All I'm here to do is to tell you, do it. When you start a New Testament church, train them. Disciple them. It's important. It's what God has called you to do, is to disciple, make disciples. And so it is the very heart of Christ's command for us as believers, is it not? Are we not to deny everything and to follow Him? We know very little of the Christian life about following Christ today. Let me just share with you one of the things that I've noticed. And that is this, whenever you go to a city and you begin to knock on doors and people begin to come to your church, they'll come for a lot of different reasons. Number one, it's new. They want to see what you have, what you have to offer. It's new, it's different. And they're going to come and they may stay a week, they may stay a couple weeks, and then they'll go. But here's the truth of the matter. You may have other Christians that will come and say, you know what? God moved us here. We want to be a part of the church. You may win somebody to the Lord and they may have never been a part of a church. You may knock on somebody's door. They may have been to church early in their life. They may have been saved. They may come and they've not been in church for 20 years. But regardless of that, I'll just be honest with you. The average Christian or the average person there today that's in your city doesn't have very much depth when it comes to spiritual. As far as being spiritually mature in the Word of God, they don't have it. And it's going to take somebody diligent and disciplined in the Word of God to go and to begin training and working with each of these believers. In fact, we don't know, we live in a day today to where we think that everything's easy. We want the easy way out. We want the easiest road. We want the easiest class schedule. Hopefully not, but anyways, we want the easy way out, right? How many of you are with me? We live in a day that's what we want. But I find that it's just opposite in the Word of God. Jesus said, pick up your cross daily and follow me. That's hard. Hey, if you're looking for an easy way out, don't go start a church. It's not. Is it exciting? Is it thriving? Is it growing? Is it what God wants? Absolutely. You better believe it. But God wants you to follow Him. Jesus called us to follow Him. But you know what happened when He began to call them out? Guess what happened? Multitudes started, and about 11 of them finished. Now, I know there's a few more, but I'm just saying, in regards to a multitude of people, they all went away, did they not? Why? It was hard. What Jesus is asking us is hard, men. And we're not shying away from that. I'm not shying away from that at all. I'm just simply trying to say that what you're commanded to do is disciple people, and it's difficult. It's hard. Hey, listen, you're going to get hurt sometimes. You're going to invest your life into people, and you're going to give everything you can, and you're going to teach them and lead them and love them, and then they're going to turn on you and go away. recently in our church, just literally the last couple of weeks, we had a family that came and helped us start from the beginning. And man, they've been a blessing. Now, I could say a lot of different things, but I believe the man is running away from God's calling in his life. But whatever it is, they're moving. You know what it is? It's hard. It's hurtful to see them go away. You know what the truth is, though? Jesus had people leave Him. You know what the Lord told me the other day? They left me, they'll leave you. Now, that's not church growth. Brother Langston, you're here telling us about people leaving. Hey, I'm just simply saying, if you can't get over the hurdle first, the fact is it's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. And there's going to be days where you're not seeing any results and not any fruit that's happening. And you're going to be tempted to throw in the towel. You're going to be tempted to say, what am I doing here? I'm not qualified. I don't even know why I'm here. Then you better be settled on the calling of God in your life. So I'm just trying to help us get the introduction here to it, because Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. It is. No discipleship? What are you doing there? Now, by God's grace, we've got a lot to work on. We're growing in discipleship and working each and every day with people, and that's what it's about. So, really, what is discipleship? Is it even necessary? Is it important? I think you can answer that question honestly. And let me just tell you what discipleship is not. First of all, it's not just a class. It's not just a class. Thank God. We have a class that we do. I teach a discipleship class on Sunday morning at Sunday school. I'm glad for that. We've got a great group of young believers in Christ that are growing. It's exciting, but it's not just a class. I tell our class every Sunday morning, listen, we're going to take as long as it has to get through the class. Because it's not about finishing the class, and it's not about the curriculum that I use in just saying this is what it has to be. It is investing this book one-to-one. In a class setting, I'm sharing the Word of God. Thank God that many of you are here today, and we're here by God's design. I understand that. Hopefully you're understanding the truth today and you're growing in Christ, and that's what we're trying to do. We're giving the Word of God. We're discipling new believers. But listen, it involves one person teaching and training and another one receiving the truth. One is giving truth. The other is receiving truth. That's what discipleship is all about. It's not just in a class. Hey, many people want to come. They'll take the class. Hey, I want to get this class so that I can check that off my list. Now I've got that finished. Hey, I've got this knowledge. Hey, listen, let me just give you a statement. All knowledge is borderline useless. If it's not applied. In other words, I can understand everything about this book and I can memorize it and I can know this book, and if I never do anything about it in obedience to Christ, what good has it done me? It's borderline. I didn't say it was useless, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I believe God's Word has power. It works. But isn't it when we obey? Does God force us to do anything? No. He puts it there for us to have. We know to live by faith. We know that now. We have to put it in action. So how do we put it in action? Well, we take one life and we invest the Word of God into another life. 2 Timothy 2:2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, what? The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to what? Teach others also. It's a pattern here that Paul set up for us in Scripture. God instituted through Paul the Apostle and Timothy, that Paul passed it on so that Timothy could take it and pass it on, so that he could pass it on, so that I could receive it and pass it on, so that you could receive what you've been given and pass it on. Amen? That's what discipleship is all about. Now, by just the nature of our lesson this morning, I want us to notice three aspects of discipleship in the church. There are three aspects found here in the book of Matthew and in the book of Acts. We're going to combine the scriptures together, and I want us to just notice here the aspects of discipleship in the church. First of all, let's notice the importance of discipleship in the church. Is discipleship important? Absolutely. Yes, it is. It has been said that the only alternative to soul winning is what? Disobedience to God. Is that the whole Great Commission? No. What's the Great Commission? Go you therefore and what? Teach. That means to make disciples, win souls. And then to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then to do what? Teach them to do what? Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Who is commanding them? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our great commander. He's the one giving the orders. He's the one that's telling us, hey, it's my message. It's my method. This is what I'm commanding you to do. Now you go and do it. But we often stop right there with the only alternative to soul winning is disobedience to God. May I submit to you this morning that the only alternative to discipleship is disobedience to God. Hey, let's put it all together, right? Win, baptize, teach. Hey, that's what you're taught here. That's what you're being taught. But don't forget it. Don't forget it. Discipleship is important to God. You say, why? First of all, letter A, it is commanded by Christ. Very simple. At the very essence and the very foundation of discipleship, it has been commanded by Jesus Christ. So then the only alternative is this. Well, I'm not going to be obedient. Now, once again, let me just encourage you. However you choose to disciple, whether you meet at a coffee shop and go over one-on-one, or whether you eat lunch with a man in the church, or whether you have some ladies get together and go to a home and have a Bible study, however you do that, just make sure you do it. Amen. Make sure that you're incorporating a plan for discipleship, that you're taking people when they come in. And by the way, I think if you'll just watch the Lancaster Baptist Church and you'll get around and watch some of the things that they do, it'll help you. Get around pastor and watch him and watch some of the things that he does. Why is he concerned about it? Because he's concerned about people getting saved and baptized and added to the local New Testament church and being discipled. I've started learning and just understanding in the first few years at the church that I've got to be on it or I'll forget. Just the truth of the matter. If I'm not scheduling a time for soul winning, guess what? I don't usually go. How many times have you heard that? You don't have to raise your hand. All the time. If you don't schedule it, it doesn't get done, right? And even as a pastor starting a church, guess what? There's problems, there's headaches, there's different things that come into play and pulls away from our time. We've got to keep scheduling that to get done. But on top of that, we've got to schedule discipleship. We've got to make sure that we're getting the Word of God into our people. Now, understand that primarily you may be doing that from the pulpit at first. You may be preaching and teaching the Sunday school when you're just getting started. We had some helpers that came with us, and they helped in the children's classes and in the nursery. But I taught the adult Sunday school, teenagers and up. And by the way, just as to give you an idea, the dynamic of our church, we have one teenager. You say, what are you doing? You're not reaching any teenagers. No, the dynamic of our city is super young. We have lots of children and lots of babies. The church is full of them, 4 years old and under. I mean, that's just the dynamic of our city, young, and a lot of military families. We live around a military base, and so we reach a lot of military. They come and go, but we want to get them the Word of God. We want to disciple them, but we realize it's important. We must make time for discipleship. Then let's think about who that it was commanded for. Is commanded to the church. We see here that the church, Jesus was giving His commandment to the apostles. Those apostles there were the ones that were going to carry out Christ's teachings. All right, get Ephesians chapter 3 in your mind. It was built upon the foundation of who? The apostles. It was laid out. You say, why was that? Because they were the ones that were around Christ. They sat at His feet. They listened to the teachings. They watched the miracles. They learned about Christ. And later on in the book of Acts, you want to know why or how that happened? Because they took knowledge of them and they knew that these men were unlearned and ignorant men, and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Days, months, weeks, years before, they're around their teacher, the master, who commissioned them and gave them the commandment. Now go ye therefore and teach all nations. It was the foundation. Why? Because if they didn't get it, you and I wouldn't have it. But we know they got it because we have it. Amen? And they passed it on. And that's what discipleship is, passing it on. Giving it to someone else. And so we realize that discipleship was given to the local New Testament church. Who's the church? Me. You. Assembling together. We are the church. We make up the church. And thank God it was mentioned this morning that the church is not a building. Hey, listen, we meet in a convention center. We started with a building. We went backwards. We had our own building, remodeled it, and we outgrew that in about 18 to 20 months, and then the lease came up, and we said, you know what, we're moving downtown, and so we went down to the convention center, and were able to work out a special rate and a deal with them that beat every other building in town that was vacant and empty for a church building by a couple thousand dollars each month, and so we said, hey, this is great. Lord opened up a door. Now we're saving money. I don't have to pay a light bill. I don't have to worry about setting up. I don't have to worry about it. They just take care of it for me. It's a great deal. And thank the Lord for that. But you know what? We're still a church. Whether we meet inside a convention center or in a church building or whether we met out on the lawn somewhere in the open air, we're the church. We meet together. And where we meet, we carry out God's purpose. So, discipleship, is it important? Absolutely. It was commanded by our Savior. It was commanded to the church. It was given to us. So, the church is responsible for getting out the message of Christ. What is that message? His teaching. This book right here, the Word of God. Now, I want you to see next. We're going to move on quickly here. Notice the implementation of discipleship through the church. How is discipleship implemented? Well, we'll go to the book of Acts to find out. The verses of Scripture that we read moments ago in Acts chapter number 2, let's go with verse 41 first and then into 42. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly. Now, there's a couple of phrases that are imperative here in chapter 41 and 42. In verse 41, can anyone recognize the key word in verse 41? What's the key word? Anybody got a guess? What is it? Just shout it out. Okay, good. It's good. Couple of good ones. In 41, we're in 41. Receive? No? You're good. You're good. All right, here we go. Acts 2:41. Look at it. I'm not getting the right one. You're close. Some of you are there. The same day they were added unto them. That's significant. Mark that down. Circle it. Them. Who were them? It was the church. It was already there. It was already in existence. The day of Pentecost came. Peter stands up and preaches. By the way, powerful message, convicting. Not exactly what they wanted to hear. Amen. But they were cut to the heart. The Bible says the Holy Spirit came in. They were cut to the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what do we do? We realize we're in great need. We've just crucified the Lord, the Messiah. Now what do we do? Repent. That's what you do. Repent. And then be baptized. And so then next, immediately after that, they're added unto them, the church, already in existence. Here we go. Now, next verse. Here we're going to see discipleship, all right? First of all, we see salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, number two. And next word, please. And they. Who's they? Those that had recently accepted Christ and been baptized. Then they, watch this, and they continued steadfastly. In what? The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Here's the implementation of discipleship in the local New Testament church. Now get with me in your mind, if you will. Place yourself in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. You're in the upper room. Maybe you're with the disciples. There's 120 disciples gathered together in the upper room. And now they make their grand descent from that room and they come down and all of a sudden, man, there's scores of people. All of a sudden, a great and mighty wind, the sound of a rushing mighty wind comes. Pretty frightful. Any of you have ever been in a tornado or been next to a tornado? I have a few times. Grew up in Arkansas, and my wife and I were married about 2 years. We were working at a church in Arkansas. We had the largest tornado and longest on the ground, 7 miles or 8 miles, I believe, on the ground, just wiped everything out and tore down everything. I mean, you see things that you can imagine, cows slung across the fields and all of that. It literally happened. And my wife and I were watching the news there, trying to figure out when do we need to go to shelter. And it said, the news came on, by the way, the power was kicking on and off. And I looked at the TV and it said, If you're in this county, take shelter immediately. And so I said, all right, that's it. Let's get together. And my wife's sister was there, and we jumped in the truck, and we ran up to the church. The church had a basement. We were about 0.7 miles from the church at that time, and we got in the vehicle. We were driving around, and all of a sudden, a big bolt of lightning flashed, and I saw this huge F5 tornado. I mean, I was only about a mile from it. I mean, fearful. I mean, the sound of that tornado at a mile away was frightening. And I remember thinking, man, we've got to get to cover. I mean, we were there. We got into the basement. We were fine. Truthfully, the tornado had already went away from us. It was already past us. We didn't realize that. But it was a frightening thing. How many of you realize that that sound of a mighty rushing wind coming in was probably pretty frightening? Anybody ever heard anything like that? No, we hadn't. No, they hadn't ever heard anything. Put yourself in that. You hear that. Now you come down. That sound comes. There's cloven tongues of the fire that appear. And now Peter stands up to the multitude and begins to preach. Hey, this is a momentous day. Many people were gathered here for this day. They'd been coming from all over the place, all over the countryside, and from boats and ships, and they're coming in for this grand day. And now they come and they hear Peter stand up and preach. Wow, what an amazing day. 3,000 souls are saved and baptized, if we're going to say it, all on Sunday. Monday morning rolls around. What do you do? What do you do with 3,120 members? All of a sudden, boom. Where do you meet? Well, you go to the biggest place that you can find that's kind of back away from everything there in Jerusalem. You go to Solomon's porch. You go and you gather there and you meet and you start discipling. You see that from the very beginning, the inception of the church, discipleship has been laid as the groundwork and the foundation. The apostles started, and those early New Testament believers, guess what they did? They continued steadfastly. In other words, they were fixed. They didn't leave. Anybody ever studied that out? Did it ever dawn on you that many people came from all over? They didn't leave. They didn't go home. Some of them did. Some of them went and sold their possessions, sold their lands and their houses, and they came back and said, hey, this is what we made right here. Take it and use it. We're gonna put it in a big pool of money. And the disciples, the apostles there, were the ones giving it out, handing it out. This person has need, all right? Here's your salary. Here's your salary for this year. This is what you're going to live on. This is what you're going to eat on. This is what you're going to have for housing. This is how it's going to work. And the church just was operating just that way. You know what they were doing? Continuing. Steadfastly. They continue. There's a truth there for us to understand today. What God wants for you today is that you would continue. God wants all of you to continue. It saddens my heart to know and think of the ones that were with us in Bible college who haven't continued. It breaks my heart. Some haven't continued. But you know, it's God's plan that you would continue. God wants you to continue steadfastly, focused, fixed on the purpose and the task that is at hand. Here we see the implementation of the discipleship through the church. How did it happen? Well, God took those apostles and He used them beginning to lay that foundation, teaching them all things whatsoever He commanded him. So Jesus commanded it. And so now they're taking it. What do they continue in? Letter A, the Word of God, doctrine. Doctrine was what was being taught. I met a man, I led a man to the Lord last year about this time who was, we had met. They actually found our church. Their family was up to visit, and they were staying at the Marriott, courtyard by Marriott, and they weren't at the convention center. They were on the hotel side, and it's all linked together there. And they, as they were there, they asked the people at the front desk, hey, what's a good church around here? And they said, well, actually, we have one meeting at the other end of the building. And so they came and visited, and we welcomed them. It was a great opportunity. Man, it was exciting. And it wasn't long, a week or two later, that their son, who was had just gotten out of the military, had a lot of different things, was on a lot of different medications. Long story short, he had made some poor choices, who was sitting in jail at in our city, and she said, would you go by and see him? I said, I'd be glad to. I went by and sat down with him, and just literally hours before he had been posted bail. And so we sat down in the lobby there at the jail. He just was, as I was walking in, he was walking out. Had no way to get home. And I tell you what, the Lord really worked. I sat down with him for 2 hours. We sat and we talked about the gospel and how that he could be saved. He'd heard it, grew up in church, and never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you've grown up with it, maybe you're at Bible college, you say, well, I'm here. I'm trying to learn about the Lord. But if you've never made it personal to you, I want to encourage you to get that settled today. Get to know the Lord personally. Invite Him into your heart and your life to be your Savior. And so we were able to sit down there. He bowed His head and He accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, it was a rejoicing. It was joyful. The next Sunday they came. Oh man, they started growing. They came every night. We had a revival last year. We went Sunday through Sunday and had services every single night. They were there every single night. He was growing. His family was growing. He was about 34 years old. And we were just excited for them. And then some other family started to kind of get them away. And we were just really starting to meet about training and getting the Word of God to them. And he had had a lot of previous teaching that was kind of contradicting, really. And so he was trying to come to the conclusion of that. And I remember the day he called me and he said, man, he said, I just want, and this is what he said, we don't want doctrine, we just want a relationship. Little did he realize what he was telling me that day. And I just simply said, let me ask you a few questions. The truth is that we need doctrine today. The doctrine of the apostles. Why? Because the doctrine of the apostles was the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Hey, we need doctrine today. Build the church on the doctrine of the Word of God. Don't go out looking for different little methods and different ways. Hey, God may or may not bless your methods. God may or may not bless anything that you do for Him, but He promises to bless His Word. You better go and preach the Word of God, regardless of how many people come to your church, regardless, hey, God's called us to proclaim His truth. Build it upon the Word of God. So we see the pattern. What was the pattern? Well, the disciples, the apostles there were teaching the Word of God. And they continued what? In the Word of God. Man, what a joy. What a blessing it is to continue in the Word of God. I love it more today than I ever have. I loved it when I was in Bible college. But I love it more today. It's the Word of God that works in our hearts and in our lives. And number two, fellowship. The identity with the assembly. This fellowship. What did they have in common? The Bible says they had all things in common. What did they have in common? Well, they had this in common. Once we were lost, now we're saved. Hey, we were on our way to hell, but we've been translated from death into life. Hey, we've been saved. We have things in common. You know what we have in common today? We've been saved. Hey, we can rejoice in Christ. It never ceases to amaze me at the local New Testament church, at all the strange creatures and people and everything from different backgrounds and ways of life and personalities and interests. Nobody hardly ever, I mean, you get a couple times, you'll get somebody that kind of likes the same thing that you do. I mean, you know, I'm living in K-State country and I'm a Jayhawk fan. I mean, you know, go figure. I live 30 minutes from Kansas State Wildcats and I'm a Jayhawk. Nobody gets along with me, you know. I mean, hey, what are you doing? You know, hey, rock chalk, you know, go on. And anyways, leave me alone. I'm a Jayhawk fan. I like it. But it doesn't matter whether people get so bent out of shape, but we have different interests. We have different personalities. We have different backgrounds. We've been raised in different countries and we have different cultures. And guess what? When we come into the body of Christ and we assemble on Sunday or Wednesday or on a Wednesday morning or whatever in chapel, guess what? Hey, we got something in common. We have Jesus. And He brings us together. Amen. Like nothing else I've ever seen in my entire life, and can build a team with people from all different walks of life. It's awesome. It's amazing, and it's exciting to be a part of. Hey, listen, we're part of the greatest thing on planet Earth. That's the local New Testament church. Discipleship here is identifying with the body, assembling the fellowship that they had. They had all things in common because they had just been saved. And then what did they do? Well, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the Word of God, in fellowship. That's in the assembly. And then they continued in breaking of bread. Now, there's two thoughts here in breaking of bread. One is this, that they went from house to house and they enjoyed meals together. And we do that from time to time here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I know Pastor Chapel does that. Many of the staff will do that. We try to do that at our church, and we're inviting people into our home and we're trying to have fellowship. We'll have a meal together and it's centered around Christ. Amen. And them understanding the truth. We're trying to disciple them. And so it creates a good opportunity. But I think secondly, in this, you can't get away from the fact of communion with Christ. The breaking of bread was symbolic of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we understand that there's no specific time that it's given. We don't do it every Sunday. You could. Don't do it every Wednesday. You could. It just says, as often as you do, do it in remembrance of me. Hey, you know what was important in this local church? And they remembered. They remembered. They hadn't forgotten what had happened to Jesus. They knew because they had crucified Him. They were the ones that rejected Him, and now they had received Him as Lord and Savior. Guess what? They remembered. They continued to remember. Hey, God forbid that you and I should forget what God's done for us. Amen. Where God's brought you from, what God saved you from. You say, well, I was saved at an early age. I didn't have a life of sin in the past. I didn't have all that. Then be glad and thank God that God saved you from all of that. And if you have a past, and by the way, everybody has a past, amen? It doesn't matter, we're all sinners. Saved the same way, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are that, and you say, man, God's, sometimes I struggle with it because I have some things that God's delivered. Hey, thank God He delivered you from it. You're not under bondage. You're not under the power of sin. You've been delivered. You've been set free. Thank God for that. Remember that. And then finally, how did they incorporate discipleship? Through prayer. I don't know, one of the greatest, this is one of the greatest areas of discipleship is praying with your church. Praying. You know, some of the greatest memories that I have at West Coast Baptist College, at Lancaster Baptist Church, are not all the games that were won or the things that we did out on the basketball floor. It's not the activities that we did. It's not even all the messages that I heard. But there were seasons of time with the Lord in prayer with other students. And I remember my freshman year gathering in our room, and many throughout the whole entire year, I can remember Brother Markey and myself and many others assembling together and just crying out to God, losing track of time, just pouring out our hearts together. You know what will help a new Christian? You praying with them. What'll help disciple new believers? How do they know? Except they're taught. Spend time with them in prayer. Have specific times of prayer. That's one of the areas that the Lord has burdened my heart with, and that is the area of prayer. We've tried to create many times of prayer with our church family. We have prayer times on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, but it's not enough when we get together. So we're spending more time. We've created some other opportunities of prayer so that we can encourage one another and continue to do what God has already given us to do. That's the pattern implemented by the early New Testament church. And then I want you to see finally, and we'll be finished here, just wrap this up real quickly, the impact of discipleship upon the church. The impact is the effect or impression of one thing upon another. So how does discipleship impact your church? I'm going to give you these quickly, and these are more practical, okay? Number one, letter A, Christians become grounded. Basic. Christians become grounded. They become mature in their faith due to active, aggressive, strategic, whatever you want to say, discipleship. You going one-on-one. You taking them in a class. You praying with them. You having them in your home. You get the pattern? As a result of that, you have a church family and a church body that are grounded and rooted in Christ. That's simple. Number two, letter B, it also creates unity in the body. You become like-minded. Philippians chapter 2, a great passage on unity, about becoming like-minded, of having the same mind. Hey, listen, we don't all think alike, but we should think alike about certain things. We should think alike about the truth of this book. We should think alike about the purpose in which God's called us to. And listen, there are many different ways in doing that. I understand that, but we ought to be able to get along and agree. But you want to have a church that is unified together and growing together? Have discipleship. It brings unity into the body. It absolutely creates that. And I believe it's God ordained. God blesses that. Letter C, it produces new life. Hey, discipleship isn't just for getting through a class, right? It's not for checking that off the to-do list and saying, look what I've done. Now I can go and, man, I can do whatever I want to do. Now I can be the leader in the church. No. What'll I do? If I'm discipled and I get the truth of the Word of God, what am I going to do? Sign me up. I'm going to go tell somebody else. I'm going to go do it. Hey, that's the 2 Timothy 2:2 model. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. We mentioned that earlier. Commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the purpose. Soul winning is discipleship. We just finished our spring soul winning training just a couple of weeks ago. We've got, 40 or 50 soul winners coming out. They're committed. We're growing and we're seeing God do something great and it's exciting about it. Why? And I tell them, hey, the idea for you committing to go this amount of time isn't so that you can just say, well, I finally got it done. I finally finished it. I don't have to go anymore. No, the goal is that when you finish, you'll be able to take the Word of God and get somebody else and train them so that they can win somebody else. Amen. That's the model. That's the purpose. And that's what happens when we actively engage in discipleship of new believers in the church. It's important. It's essential. Hey, how do we implement it? Well, we follow the pattern, the model from the apostles in the early New Testament church. And then I want you to see, this is just a practical one that I see that has followed out from Lancaster Baptist Church that has had an effect in my life and in my ministry. Practically speaking, it helps you to establish leadership requirements. Now, some of you may be saying, what in the world? I didn't think about a local New Testament church plant talking about leadership requirements. Yes, the sooner that you get those in place, the better. You say, how in the world do I do that? Have a discipleship program. You want to know why? Because that gives them time for them to know you and for you to know them. Saves you a lot of heartache from having somebody come right in and say, oh yeah, I've been saved. I was at this church. I was at that church. I was the youth leader. I was this or that. You say, okay, well, I'm glad about that. Why don't you come and let's get on the same page. Let's grow together. It gives you a few weeks and months to be able to get some things accomplished. Get that done. That's an impact that it'll have on your church. And to be able to raise you, say, what's leadership? Leadership is someone who is going to model the Christian life, someone that's visible. People do what people see. And if I've got them up here, I want them to model the Christian life. I want them to know what I expect. I want them to follow that and to be not just to do it out of duty, but I want them to know it. I want them to love it just like I do. I want them to love soul winning. I want them to love singing out because they love the Lord. I want them to love going and teaching others. Man, I want them to be a part of that. So it's important. Soul winning, discipleship, the discipleship of new believers. Man, it's so vitally important. May God help all of us to do what He wants us to do.